Hey, you are listening to The Workplace Theatre. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of corporate real estate, talking to industry experts about how they shape the next generation workplace. Hi, everyone. It's a bit odd for me today because I'm actually on my own, no guest here. And this is supposed to be or going to be a little bit of a digest of what's been going on in the last episode of The Workplace Theatre, where I've spoken to Sheila Botting about, well, many things. And the one topic that kind of stuck with me was performance measures. And while what Sheila said all made absolute sense, and that's the layers of performance measures that are put in place in many corporations in the corporate real estate organizations. And I'm going to recap here. It was basically financial metrics like cost and revenue expenses and space efficiency. And then, of course, the layers of employee retention, recruitment success, and then employee engagement on the other hand. So those are the metrics that are commonly known and commonly gathered in workplace management. But I find that it is, in fact, kind of difficult to tap into what's good. So what is the right cost per employee, the right cost per square meter? What is a right revenue ratio per square meter, for example? Because there are so many variables when you think of it. If I think about my time back as a site manager, and we did collect revenue by site, actually. We did not use that to steer really portfolio decisions. It was just a metric that we used for reference, let's say that. Thing is, if you look at that, you might be at a location that is in a high growth market, and that's why revenues are high. Does that tie directly back to the workplace and the productivity of employees in there? I don't think so. Some of it may, but it just might be how the market is currently. And on the other hand, you might have locations where the revenue is low. Does that mean your workplace is bad? Might be a really cool office, actually. A lot of headquarters location might not have revenues tied directly to them because they're attributed to the local businesses in the regions and their legal entities. So that metric would be really, really bad for that headquarters location. So again, it can't be something that you steer by. You can gather it of interest, but you can't really act upon it, I think. And then the same goes actually for cost per square meter or per employees. If we look first at cost per square meter quite generally, markets are very different. I'm currently based in Zurich. Rents there are crazy, residential and office sector. It's non-comparable to other locations in the world. So for example, used to cover Europe, we had locations in London, Paris, Berlin that were really, really expensive because they were a central business district and we needed to be there for visibility reasons, accessibility for certain customers as well. But then we'd also have locations in other countries in Europe, for example, in Slovenia, or in Athens. Again, there, if you look at it, the cost will differ. Does that really show success of corporate real estate? No, because it is the real estate market. And therefore, you can't do much about it. You can, of course, always consider not being in an A-plus location, but move to B location at the outskirts of a city. And that's always an exercise that corporate real estate will engage in. But again, if there is a valid business reason to be in the central business district or at a certain trendy location, you might pay the premium for it. And then again, your metrics are actually screwed because they're not going to look good. And then also for the metric of cost per employee, it's basically the same, I want to say, because when you look at it, there might be locations where there's not that many employees actually on site, because you do have special areas that don't have a high density. I'm remembering, for example, the episode as well that we had with Stephen Bell taking care of the Wella portfolio, where they had training facilities, and training facilities don't have desks attributed to them. And for majority of the year, they're actually not going to be very full or occupied. Actually, there might just be like a minimum number of staff on site. And then only at these times when there are the trainings, there's going to be a higher population. But can you get rid of them completely? Maybe. But again, it might be a valid business reason why you don't want to have pop-up locations, but a stable location for people to return to because of the things you can do then with that space. So again, that's a metric that can be very misleading. And then when we go into space efficiency, there is similar things. Again, those special areas like showrooms, training rooms, like if you have a huge collaboration space to host town hall meetings and things, those are going to screw with your space efficiency metrics. But usually you're keeping the space for a certain purpose. So you would not want to get rid of it necessarily for the sake of space efficiency. But it makes your portfolio non-comparable to a certain extent, or not easy to read at least. You'd always need to know about certain locations to make sense of numbers, because if you had a high-level look on it, you might draw the wrong conclusions. And that's why I tend to insist that the numbers alone, the data population alone, is not going to make you smarter in making your decisions. It's only that circumstance and the things you know around the data that will make sense of it and allow you to assess certain things. And that goes then for the employee. I think we talked about recruitment numbers and engagement as well in there with Sheila. Again, this is a very complex matter. And I think that's why we are struggling so much to tap our finger on what makes employee experience and what is a good employee engagement rate, because it's a complicated construct and you can't attribute directly to workplace. I think Sheila mentioned that that company she worked for had a 99% acceptance rate of offerings because they had a really great workplace. Now I'm wondering, yes, that might be, and they might attribute that success to the time after the refurbishment or the new workplace being put in place. But then again, maybe at the same time, they have changed their employee benefits. Because what companies also tend to over-evaluate is workplace design and how that will draw people to the company. Well, actually, and that was a recent study from Talent Recruitment actually shared with me, it showed how it's for employees, it's actually vice versa. Employees don't value the workplace as the most important thing for their job satisfaction. For them, it's compensation and then also flexibility, also the purpose they find in their work, and then also, are the colleagues nice that they're working with? And is their leader someone they can work with? That's items that make a decision before actually any other thing. When I think about myself, I do find that true. I've worked in some really shitty offices, I have to say. I've worked in a container building. I've worked in a building from the 70s that was unrenovated and had a really ugly design, with the typical brown and orange and olive colors in it. Did it keep me from accepting the job offer? No, it didn't, because I did find those other things. So I don't have an immediate solution to all of this. All I can say is to be really careful what you gather and what you compare if you don't have the background information on it, and to be attuned also to what you can act upon. Coming back to that revenue example, what can you do as corporate real estate to change revenues directly? I guess there's not that much. It's all indirect. And with everything that's indirect, you don't have a clear way of attributing and measuring. And that's why performance measures is so complex. And that's why we keep on investigating. And that's why I keep on having these conversations to learn from all around how workplace leaders are doing it. And with that said, I'm going to close it for now. Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of The Workplace Leader, there's more. Go visit our blog and have a look at some of the other topics we have covered. Or tune into our next episode of The Workplace Leader.